Good morning. Lovely on this sunny day to see your wonderful smiling faces. I do mean that, honestly. Even these non-smiling mountain faces, probably thinking, what's he going to say now? Well, I've asked specifically for the mountains to be able to say it, because I'm aiming my talk towards you guys. It's for everybody, but to start off with, I wanted to say, I'm pretty sure that everyone in this room, at some time or other, has come to a scripture and thought, don't like this, and they'll skip over it. And we do tend to have scriptures that we like to read, that mean something to us. But the sad thing about that is that if we skip over scriptures, if we skip over books of the Bible, then we are missing out on the rich blessings that God has for us. And also, I'd just like to say as well, please don't substitute the Word of God with these daily readings that we have. The likes of the Word for Today, daily readings, etc., etc. Because all they actually do is take the scriptures, break them down, and fill in the gaps that they want to fill. So, I'm not saying don't read them, because they're a great theme for a way of worshipping and thinking. But if you substitute the Word of God with them, then you're not even getting the scriptures. So I would advise you, if you do want to read them, and they're great, I read the Word for the Day, every day, but I always make sure that I go back to the scriptures and read the verse before the scripture and the verse after. And that way we're taking into context what the scriptures are saying to us and not what the writers are saying. So I just wanted to say that quickly. The reason I've said that is because what I want to look at today, many, many years ago when I first became a believer, I read this scripture and I honestly thought, what on earth has that got to do with anything? So I skipped that particular passage. And for many years I continued to do the same. And it wasn't until Paul said last week, that as he was reading the word, he actually wanted to jump out of his seat because the Lord had revealed something to him. I forgot to ask him whether he actually did dance. He said he wanted to, but I don't know whether he did. And a couple of weeks ago, whilst I was away on my own, I read this scripture. And the Lord actually told me what the scripture was about. And that's what I want to share with you today. So I'm going to be looking at, you don't have to turn to it if you don't want to, but you can if you wish. I'm looking at Psalm 127. And it says this. And now I'm reading from the NLT. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Children are a gift from God. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Psalm 127. very, very short psalm. But, as I said before, I struggled with it. To me, it felt like Solomon had come up with two writings and thought, oh, I'll stick them together. But they had nothing to, the first part had nothing to do with the second. And then the Lord spoke to me, and he said, it's all about family. And I shot off my seat. I didn't dance, but I shot off my seat. I thought, it's about family. And I sat back down and I read it again. And then I got another Bible and I read that. And I went to commentaries to see what they said about it. And I was surprised at how they conferred or concluded what God had said to me. And all my life, all of my Christian life, I've really felt a love for family. Because I know how important family is to God. So I want to look at Psalm 127. There's only five verses, and I want to look at it each verse. Mountains, I want you to listen to my pointers, because you guys are just starting out in life, and it's very, very important that you make certain choices. So let's look at the first verse. Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builder is wasted. Now, unless the Lord builds the house. Now, we could be talking about a brick structure. A house. But I like to think of it more as a relationship between a man and a woman. How they come together. And this is what I felt the Lord revealed to me. I could be wrong. Feel free to come and speak to me afterwards. You may see something totally different in it. But the house could be a structure. It could be anything that we are undertaking. It could be a relationship between a guy and a girl. Now, unless the Lord is in that situation, you could make a mistake. Now, Sandra and I weren't believers when we came together. And the Lord wasn't in our lives when we bought our first home. And he wasn't in our lives when our children came. So we didn't have the Lord in the center of our relationship, our family. But the moment we became believers, I asked the elders at the time if they would come round to our house and bless our home. And they did. And what we actually did then was invite the Lord into the center of our relationship. Now, I'm not saying for one minute that the Lord wasn't in my life before that. I know full well he was. And I know full well that Sandra was the one that God had for me. And vice versa. But he wasn't actively part of our relationship at the time until we came to know him. And after that, each and every house that we've had, we've blessed that house. We've invited the Lord into each and every home that we have had. And I've blessed my daughter's house, whether she knows it or not. But I went round there and we prayed over every room in that house. And I've done the same to my son's house. Because they are my family, they are my children, and I want them to have the best start in their lives that they can have. whether they choose to follow the Lord as their personal saviours is up to them. But I'm telling you, you young people, before you enter into a relationship, seek the Lord's advice. He will have someone for you. Don't make a rash decision and think, well, I'll go for it because he's the one or she's the one. You could be making a mistake. Verse 2. Unless the Lord... Oh, sorry, this is carrying on from verse 1. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Now, that could honestly mean a city. It could be the city of Salford. It could be the city anywhere in the world. But for me, I'd like to liken it to my land. My house, my castle, my home, my children, my grandkids. Now, I can do my utmost to protect that house. I can put in the latest security system. I can monitor what my kids watch or listen to. I can see how they are living their lives, and if they're doing wrong, I can bring that to their attention. But what about when they leave? What about when they go to school? What about when you go to your friends? What about when my wife goes to work, or I go to work? I have no influence over what they're watching, or what they're listening to, or what they're taking in, or what their friends' parents are saying to them. I can only protect them as long as they are under my roof. Now suppose I decided to bring home a homeless guy for a meal. That's fine, but I don't know what Trojan horse he could be bringing into my home. But the Lord does. And that's why having the Lord first in our relationships, in our homes, is so important. Because He will protect them. He will protect my home. He is the protection that we need. Verse 2. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to His loved ones. Now I'm talking to me. For years, I worked 6 days a week. 7 days even until I came to know the Lord. Why did I do that? Even after I came to know the Lord, I still work, and I still work now. I'm finally seeing the light. But I worked all hours God sent. Why? Because I wanted to give my kids what I didn't have. And I'm sure there's many others that do exactly the same. But God actually instigated the Sabbath rest because He knew what man was like. And He knew that man needed rest. So I would say to you young people, I would say to any of us, think about your career. Think about the work that you want to go into. Invite the Lord into making the decision. I wanted to give my kids everything that I didn't have. Now I have always trusted that Jehovah Jireh is the one that provides all my needs. But maybe in the back of my mind, maybe it was a cover up for thinking, well, God will provide my needs, but he'll only meet my needs. He won't give me the extras that I need. So I worked and I worked. And sadly, for several years of my children's growing up, I was away. I was out working and bringing the money in. My kids got it down to a fine art. They would conspire together. And they would say, right, if we say they wanted to go to Blackpool or whatever for the day, or whatever they wanted, they would first go to their mum. And if mum said no, go and see your dad, they knew they wouldn't get it from their mum. So they'd come to me. And if I said no, then it was no. But if I said, I'll see, they knew they'd already won. Because they knew that I didn't say no and they'd work on me and get what they wanted. Now if I, as a sinner, can give my children good things, how much more can our Heavenly Father give good gifts? So I would say, in all of your dealings, in your career, in your house buying, in the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, make God first priority. And he will provide everything that you need. Believe it or not, he is actually 1,000 times better than your mum or dad. He really is. So, if we do that, if we put God first, if we put him in the centre, he provides everything that we need. But is that it? Is that all he does? He just provides for our need. Well, no. He grants us rewards, and our rewards are children. Children are a gift from God. Now, it's so easy for me, as when I was an elder, I used to take verse 3, 4 and 5 out of Psalm 127, and I would use it. When we were dedicating children to the Lord, I'd use that. Because that's what I believe, that children are a gift from God. And I remembered when my son was born, I was so elated. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I liked the thought that my name will continue. I had a son, and he would carry on my name. And that's a great feeling for a dad. My lineage will continue. And then when Mark had a son, I thought, wow, my lineage will continue. But I also had a daughter. And unfortunately, she takes her husband's name. And my lineage ends there. But she's a gift from God. She is the reward that we have for putting God first. Now, unfortunately, sometimes children can be a hindrance or a mistake. I wonder if that's how God sees it. Because God loves children so much, I think it's a catastrophe to think of children as a mistake or they're seen as a hindrance. We can learn so much from them. Look at Ezekiah there. His mum and dad must gain so much pleasure from seeing his mind working as he grows. And the inquisitive questions that he will ask. I see that all the time from my little grandson. And it's such a blessing. I am eternally grateful to our Lord and Master. And also, they will protect you and look after you in your older years. Surely that's what we want. I work with my son now, and I've seen the change in him. He's now concerned for his getting older dad. Don't worry, Dad, I'll do that, I'll do this. You're getting too old. Not what I want to hear, but it's the truth. And my daughter, I know that when we become old people, a long way to go yet, that she'll want to look after us. So the generations continue. So think about these things, young people. These are decisions that you have to take to God. Am I saying then, in closing, that the people outside in the world that don't know God, am I saying then that they are bad parents? Not for a minute. They are doing the best that they can. And they will be doing absolutely amazing jobs. But what I am saying is that without God as the centre, they are going to miss out on the richest, glorious of blessings that only God can bring. And they are missing out on the protection for their families, for their children, for their husbands and wives, that only God can bring. So we have a choice to make. And for me, it's a very simple choice. Do we want to go through life without Him? Do we want to be in control of our destinies? Or do we want to have God build a house? Do we want God to protect our homes and our families? Do we want God to provide all that we need and more so? And do we want generations after ourselves? Yeah, it's a big decision that we have to make. But for me, it's so simple. Put God first. Make sure that He is the centre. And you can't go wrong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the blessings that we receive daily. We thank You for Your Word, and I say this every sermon, Lord, that Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, sharp enough to go through bone and marrow. Your Word gets right through to our souls. And Lord, we know that we cannot do it without You. So often we try to do it on our own. But You are the great and mighty Father. And we are created in Your image. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know our children better than we could ever know them. And You are the best judge. You are the best guide. You are the one that brings strength. You are the one that brings life, light to the darkness. You are the signpost of our life. And You have given us Your Word as the guidebook. Let us read it, Lord, and let us read it all. And not skip any passages. Because Your Word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is alive, You can speak to us through any and every scripture. So let us not put the Bible to one side, Lord. Let us take it up daily and ask that You will speak to us through it. Guide our young people, Lord, I pray. May they always have You first. May they always look to you for the guidance that they need. And out of that will come a life of blessing. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we say that you are sovereign and there is none like you. Amen. Well, I hope that wasn't too bad. I hope you've taken something from it. They will be asking questions next week. Be blessed.